My two guests are here to help us better understand what it means to sit on a school board in Oregon. Dr. Kristen Miles is Director of Board Development and an expert in governance and policy at the Oregon School Boards Association. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And Don Watson is a member of the Phoenix Talent School Board and Vice President of the Oregon School Boards Association. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Miles, let's start with you. Tell me about your work at the Oregon School Boards Association.
I am the director of the Board Development Department, and the Board Development Department is, we are the ones that go out and train school boards in their roles and responsibilities and everything school board related. So we do a lot of strategic planning with boards. We do superintendent evaluation. We do board self-evaluation. Pretty much anything that is within the realm of board work, we customize our training to boards and what they need, and we train on the roles and responsibilities of boards that most impact students in a research-based way.
Okay, so I'll ask you a very basic question. You talk to me like I'm a student. What is a school board?
A school board is the governance body of the district. It is, each position is a volunteer position. The board provides governance, while the superintendent provides management. So the board works as a team to oversee things like the strategic priorities, the budget, policy, and set the vision. So the board adopts those things. They hire and evaluate a superintendent. They adopt curriculum. They monitor progress. It's a great way to give back, to be involved, to lend your voice, and to work really hard.
Okay. And you said these are volunteers.
Yes, they are. This is a very hardworking volunteer position.
Who's eligible to sit on a board?
So you must be a registered voter in the district. You must have lived in the district at least a year previous to the election, and you cannot work for the district.
And how long do you sit on these boards?
Each term is 4 years, and you can run for as many terms as you like.
When you say run for, that means you have to be elected?
You do have to be elected, yes.
So what I'm understanding is that volunteers run for school board and they have to be elected. And how long are these campaigns and how much do they cost and where does this money come from?
maybe Don can speak a little bit to that. It is really context and community dependent. In some districts, you know, we've got districts ranging from a few kids to, you know, tens of thousands of students. And how you run a campaign and what you need to run a campaign is really dependent on the community, how many people are running for each seat. Campaigns can last several months, and the resources needed can really be dependent. Don, I don't know if you would like to weigh in on that as well.
Yes, that's a good segue. Don, you're actually on a school board here in the Phoenix Talent School District. So give us some insight.
So, most people down here in Southern Oregon just pay out of their own pockets to run, and they usually just use that money to do yard signs and some flyers. If you spend, I think it's more than $700 or $750, then you have to register with the state and track all of that money, and everyone can see where that money came from. So that's a good question. So I do want to say that there's some board seats that are available for only 2 years. So if a board member resigns during their term and then when the next election cycle comes up, that seat will be run. So if it wasn't a full re-election cycle, sometimes some of the seats people are running for, you may see it only being 2 years because the previous person resigned before the terms were over. That makes sense.
And how many seats are there usually on a school board? How many seats are there on the Phoenix Talent School Board?
On Phoenix Talent, there are 7. Most boards down here are 7, but some have 5 members on their board.
And how long have you been on the board?
I was voted in 2013.
What prompted
you?
What prompted you to do that?
I have a child with autism, and there was a lot of, I was in parent groups, and there was a lot of needs for better IEP special ed support. And so I ran because I felt like that voice wasn't being heard on school boards.
And who has oversight of the board?
Well, that's a great question. that's actually a question I don't know if I can answer because it's a question that everyone asks. So there's, I guess the community has oversight of the board, which can be challenging. They have the right to vote the board in, and then they also have the right to recall the board. But yeah, that's a question that is often called on who has oversight of the board. And since we're elected officials, it's the community. I believe. If I'm wrong, Kristen, let me know.
Well, that is correct. And I'll also add in that the Oregon Government Ethics Commission also oversees public meeting law. So the boards have to follow all public meeting laws. And so the OGEC, or Oregon Government Ethics Commission, oversees those laws.
My guests are Dr. Kristen Miles, Director of Board Development at the Oregon School Boards Association, and Don Watson, a member of the Phoenix Talent School Board and Vice President of the Oregon School Boards Association. So, Dr. Miles, this is an election year for Oregon school boards, and you were invited by the League of Women Voters to speak at the Medford Public Library on March 9th at 3 p.m. What will you present?
So what I will be doing down there is presenting what school boards do. It's really the roles and responsibilities of a school board. And so I'll be talking a little bit about what OSBA does, just to introduce our organization down there, but talk about the role of the school board, what school boards are accountable to, what you can do, what school boards can't do, and then I'll be taking a lot of questions as well.
Okay, so Don, you're on the school board. You have children who grew up in the Phoenix Talent School District, and now you're one of the leading board members. So give us a sense of your experience in the school district, and what can we expect with the challenges we're facing now here in the state with spending being questioned and education test scores? And then, of course, we have a president who's saying the Department of Education is irrelevant and needs to go.
Well, those are great questions, and I don't know if I can answer them all because things seem to change day to day when it comes to the president. I am being optimistic and hoping that the money that he that is in the federal funds is going to come to the state. It sounds like there is a plan that would possibly happen, where the funds would come from the federal government and filtered through the state. However, you don't know if that's what's going to actually happen on that. It's a very trying time right now for school board members. I think every single school board member that I know, their top priority is math and reading and getting our children up to their math and reading scores. I think that's something that's talked about. I know at Phoenix Talent talked about all the time, and I have been listening to other people's board meetings, and I believe that's talked all the time. So boards are really working hard on that. I might have missed a question that you asked me, so I apologize if I didn't answer all the things that you had asked.
Well, I just want to know your experience, your kids. What kind of experience did they have growing up in that school district? And what has your experience been as well?
Our experience has been great. To be honest, at the beginning, when my child first started in kindergarten, the one that experiences autism, it was challenging and it was rough. Of course, IEPs were a challenge, but it got smoother through time, and our district evolved, I believe, has evolved through time and has really kind of changed focus and concentrating on all students. I think there's still always challenges, but I have seen huge growth in my own district from the time I started going as a concerned parent to now. And I encourage people to either run for your board or go to your school board meetings and see what's going on. We usually have a break after testimony, and we can, because during testimony, the school board cannot answer your questions. But in the break, we can come and say hi, and usually the questions are pointed towards staff to answer, and we can make sure that they know where they're, how to get more information. So I really believe that it's important for parents to be involved in their school and go to their school board meetings. And I have seen lots of improvements when that happens.
So that evolution has occurred because of the change in leadership?
I would say yes, change in board members and change in leadership, because as Kristen mentioned, the board gets to help with strategic plan and goals and visions of the district. And so that does help, yes.
Okay. It sounds like that there's a lot of time that needs to be invested in being a board member. So it's volunteer. You have to spend money out of your pocket to get on the board. You have to be elected. And then you have to spend a lot of time. Who are these people that have all this extra time? And how did you manage it with raising a family?
I have a very supportive husband who also believes it's important to be involved in your child's education. And so I got lucky. It depends on how much time and effort you want to put into it. Some people, the election cycle is only for a few months. Some board members put in probably maybe 10 to 12 hours a month. I put in probably 30 to 50, maybe even more a month. It just depends. Well, actually, even more than that. I think this week it's been more like 30 the week. So we just make a choice, right? We're working and we just make the choice to put this in because we are, feel it's that important. So very passionate people who really believe in education is who you find. And it's a lot of hard work and a lot of time consuming. And the beginning is a big, huge learning curve because there's a lot to learn. And I'm still learning every day about school board policies and all of that.
Well, I wish I had more time to talk about best practices and all those things, but I want to know if school boards talk to each other. Like, I know Medford School District is now looking for a new superintendent because who knows what happened there, but we now know that the superintendent, Brett Champion, is resigning, and they're now looking for a new superintendent, which you'll have to find in the next few months. Do the school boards talk to one another? Do they help one another? Do they network?
Yes, they do talk to one another, and we help each other. Usually, Oregon School Board Association has two meetings a year where the school board can actually three meetings a year where school boards can get together and talk. I am the regional representative, so I represent Southern Oregon districts for our school boards, and so I help facilitate those meetings with the with the school board members. We had one beginning of the year that the purpose of that meeting was to talk to our local state representatives about school board issues and challenges that we were having so that we could be ready for the legislative session. But yes, we do talk, and Kristen can talk a little bit. One of the things OSBA does is help school boards find superintendents and support them when they are in the situation where they're looking for a superintendent.
Well, we've got about 30 seconds left. So, Dr. Miles, what are the hallmarks of a well-functioning school board?
Oh, the hallmarks of a well-functioning school board. Really keeping students at the center. Really keeping student outcomes and student learning as the focus with that North Star. Looking at student issues and really believing that all students can learn. There's research that shows when that belief is shared by all board members, you can really impact student outcomes.
Excellent ending, and we're out of time. So thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.